Blog Talk Radio.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing. This bridge together with our wisdom, and through our art, we can make the change for the better. Peace together, peace together, peace together, peace together, peace together. Together, peace together. Use your voice, sing your song, tell everyone you made the to live for love, no more war, no matter where. This is the vision. Now we see and we know we can build this bridge together as we share.
Good afternoon and welcome to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio, formerly Now Time Radio. So we have begun to venture a new radio station meant to bring you the messages that are for this time, 2012 and beyond. The purpose of our work is to be a catalyst for an enlightened humanity, not just in terms of information, knowledge, and wisdom, but in terms of guiding our actions. What must we do to make this world a better place? So welcome now to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio, and I am your host, Audrey Scott Williams. Today we're going to be talking about a conference that is going on in Baltimore. This conference will take place on January 22nd, and it's going to be all day at the American Visionary Art Museum. And we will have a very special guest with us today, Rebecca Hofberger, to talk about what this conference means for this time. The State of Our Earth 2012 Eco Conference, what inspired the vision for the conference. And also, we know that the conference is being held in conjunction with the original exhibition called All Things Round, Galaxies, Eyeballs, and Karma. So we'll be talking about that as well. Let me check and make sure our guest is online. Rebecca, are you there? All right, I'm not
Audrey?
Here. That are yes, are you there?
Yes, Audrey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Welcome to
Great.
Peace Talk Now Time Radio.
It's an honor to be with you, even through the airwaves.
I know, right? And today has turned out to be quite an interesting day. Energetically, there's so much going on. So I'm real excited to talk about the State of Our Earth Eco Conference 2012. Here we are. And you have scheduled this for January 22nd, 2012. So why don't we begin with maybe saying a little bit about the American Visionary Art Museum, the exhibition, and how this idea was birthed for this extraordinary conference, and then we can really get into the conference itself.
Perfect. Well, I'm director and founder of a national museum devoted to the powers of intuition. It's the National Museum for Intuitive Self-Taught Artistry, and every year I pick one grand theme that has always inspired humankind. And this year's year-long theme deals with the cyclical notion of time, a la the Mayan calendar end in 2012, but all things round. And its name is All Things Round, Galaxies, Eyeballs, and Karma. And if you think about it at the atomic level of all of physical reality, it's mostly empty space with electrons dancing around the central nucleus, just in the same way our planets are dancing around central stars. Everything is swirling. As we're all listening here together, where the Earth is revolving at over 1,000 miles per hour. It's rotating 1,000 miles per hour, a little bit more than that. But because it always does it, we don't feel that spin. That's the ambient connection or condition of the spin. So this show, this conference that is open to everyone, although the seating is limited at around 500, is happening as a real love song to communally contemplate the times that we're in. And the first people to speak, because several of our artists in our exhibition are indigenous people who happen to all be struggling with their mineral rights that were sold off without their permission and exploited, where it has in different parts of the world, ruined their groundwater, compromised their air, et cetera. So I saw that as a common theme. So the exhibition, this conference that is in tune with our exhibition at our museum, this Sunday, not this Sunday, the 22nd, 2-2, the 22nd day of January, right on the eve of the Year of the Dragon, the Chinese New Year, the next day, begins with the voices of indigenous people, the prophetic voices of their traditions, be they West African, Yorubic, or Mamawati, or various Inca traditions from Peru will be represented, all sorts of Native Americans, including Sean Ware, who has come from Wyoming, who is Native American, to share his tribal insight, both from hundreds of years of prophecy for these times, as well as what the contemporary shamanic thoughts are. But then the afternoon balances that in a very complementary way with the top ecobiologists who are looking at the fact, as is Dr. Shaw, the top ocean toxicologist, that there's no longer a glass full of water anywhere in our oceans that does not contain microscopic bits of plastic. So we have altered in a very rapid way what Earth has always been. And it's fascinating. Dr. Shira Kramer is one of the leading epidemiologists, and she reminds us all that chemicals that never, ever existed on the Earth, totally man-made, are now over 90,000. And of those 90,000 chemicals in our food chains, in our air, in our water, in our soil, in our clothing, all of that, in our cord blood, of those 90,000 new chemicals that did not exist 100 years ago, only 2,000 of which have ever had any sort of study done on their impact on living organisms. And most of those, not even very complete studies. So that was a very interesting thing that has come out that very much dovetails with the concerns that indigenous people have had for our forgetting how to live on the earth. And then finally we have Dr. Sandra Steingraber speaking as keynote at 3 o'clock, who wrote the book Living Downstream. She herself was a cancer survivor early on at 19, and went on to have 2 healthy children in her 40s, but really became very wise at the impact of environment, not genetics, but environment. So it's not a fear-oriented conference. And in fact, the love song that begins is the Eulalie love song, All Our Relations, to set the tone, that it's not blame placing. It's just rapid fire, really, sharing with what has been said by elders, with people who have lived traditionally very close to the earth and very respectfully with the earth, and then balanced in the afternoon with very complimentary insights on how quickly we have altered what gives us life.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of this, what I think is one of the very important gatherings that we'll see happening, particularly this year, but between now and 2015, I think we're going to see incredible conference and incredible gatherings of people, just as you have put together here. So I'm very grateful that you were inspired to do this. From your perspective, why is this important?
Well, I think people ask me all the time, what do you think is the most creative thing you've come across in the last 100 years, and they're, thinking everything from inventions like penicillin that did, undoubtedly enormous good, to, great works of art, et cetera. But I would say the most creative thing, in my opinion, has been the truth and reconciliation process, which transcended punishment and blaming to just communally state what indeed happened, so you could have a basis for just looking in one another's eyes and knowing what the facts are and moving forward to something where we do not repeat or perpetuate those mistakes. So in a way, the State of the Earth Conference 2012, by the way, I forgot to mention, our Tibetan monks will be also in residence. It's really quite a global gathering. It is in the light of not even inviting corporations that say, hey, we've got the solutions, we're green, and we do blah, blah, blah. That's all well and good. But what we didn't want to do was to make this in any way a commercial, even for good. This is simply a day where we state where we are on the earth from indigenous people who say, hey, we're, as the Huichols are coming, and my artists, some of my artists are Huichol that come from the Maya tradition. And they are have experienced their most sacred mountain down in the Sierra Madre. Their mineral rights to that mountain on their land was sold off by the Mexican government to the Canadians. And the way that they have gone about mountaintop removal in extracting that the silver in that case, and other places it's coal, has been of such a detriment to the people, besides not respecting that these have been lands revered for generations. So what it is not blaming, it's just stating where are we right now as people on the ground, and also scientists who live on the ground and get cancer and have their well water also violated. It's a communal truth-telling with a lot of love and caring. And I think it's what is needed at the head of this 2012.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Rebecca, about 6 years ago, I was a part of a gathering in Kenya, and it was called by Prometra, which is an organization to promote traditional healing. And so traditional healers from all over Africa came to look at the issue of AIDS. And I want to share this because it really gives power to what you're saying. And I remember on the opening night, the traditional healers saying that, you know, we've talked about all the catastrophes that AIDS, is causing. We've heard so much talk about how AIDS came about. But in this conference, this isn't what it's about. You know, it's like putting a stick in the ground and saying, okay, where do we go from here? And I'll never forget that one of the elders, and it may have been Baba Credo Mutwa, but I think that's who it was, and said, Africa's dying. You know, we can go have all this conversation, but if we don't wake up, Africa's dying. And so it really places our energies right into the heart is what I'm hearing. As I think about that, as you triggered that in me, it places us in the heart. And in the heart is where we are all connected and where all our relations are. You know, it is all about, you know, anything happening to you is happening to me. Anything happening to the earth is happening to me. How do we move forward?
Well, you know, there's also that kind of classic Native American wisdom that no matter how hungry you are or no matter how hungry your children are, you never eat your seed corn. And a lot of aspects of the lower harmonics of capitalism deal with scarcity. You know, you may know that the diamond market has long been a very controlled market because, in fact, diamonds are much more prevalently found in the earth. So the control of how many get out has been controlled for, you know, very carefully. Because if the amount that could be mined were dumped, then the price of diamonds would come way down. So just like oil goes up when it's considered more scarce than, you know, the cost of it, and water, you know, people around the world more and more paying for healthful water and that being exploited. So it's interesting because I think we're really coming to a point where if you can say we can remove all the mountaintops because that's good, we need energy and we need that coal, and that's why we can justify it, or ruin the headwaters off of Alaska, for all of the bear and ecosystems there and all the salmon and water rights because we need that oil, you know. And we just need more people articulating that the greed of the bottom line cannot cannot take away from future generations richness of communal capital, you know, in the well-being of the water and the mountains and the land forever for short-term gain. We have to get away from eating our seed corn and certainly not being people who say, wow, this is the only seed corn left. I can sell it for a lot of money, because then where are we a year from now, 10 years from now? So that's the position this has come, that you know, that this is being offered to the public. And I'm just so excited. I have been so moved by people like yourself, Audrey, who heard the date, you know, Sunday, January 22nd, come share what you know. And your experience is such a unifying one, because you were led to listen, you know, to what unique time we were in right now, and what that response from Indigenous people have been all over the world. I mean, no one that I have come across has your perspective, and I'm just so thankful that you were also drawn to come and to share what you were given to know.
Oh, thank you so much, Rebecca. I wouldn't miss this for the world. As I said before, I think that this is a crucial gathering, and I thank you for your vision and galvanizing all the energy that it took to bring this forward. I want to take a break here, and then when we come back, Rebecca, let's talk a little bit about the oceans. You brought something to my attention, and I actually went to your website to find out more about the rapid increase in the dead zones in our oceans. So let's take a break. You're listening to Now Time Radio. This is Peace Talks on Now Time Radio, and your host, Audrey Scott Williams. We're going to listen to some music, and then we're going to come back and continue our dialogue. Again, we're talking with Rebecca Hofberger at the American Visionary Art Museum. We're talking about 2012 State of Our Earth Eco Conference.
I'm calling out to the whole wide world. Help me scream and shout that we want peace. Big love to Emmanuel Jao.
Oh yeah, I'm looking for some people who's looking for peace. Maybe together we could make the war cease. Now we can send mankind to the moon, and we can reach to the bottom of the sea. That's why it really kind of baffles me that we cannot end wars and bring peace. And we cannot change the way people act, and we cannot change the way people think. So if we sit back, chill out and relax, civilization will soon be extinct. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Come on, people, would you help it? Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace. To say the least, I dedicate this song to the common people. I wish the world was a little bit better. Time to start looking at the man in the mirror. Fear is the devil policeman. Fear makes a genocide with him so he can. Feel a war of genocide and love was weakened. Lighting up the land cause nobody was speaking. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Come on, people, would you help me? Poor people living and die for the world gone deaf, the world gone blind, the world people sitting down on the behind. Nobody care about the poor and needy. Too busy sucking up through the rich and the greedy. For every hero there's a villain. I am dealing. We gotta stop sending out our sin. One more time, we got no more time. We gotta figure out the way that we can all combine. Like Jericho, the world comes tumbling down. The sound of voices out of cities surround. You know what it's worth. Put our voices to work. We're gonna shut down heaven and earth.
have a choice to sit and criticize or engage in change. Let's choose to engage and change the world one step at a time here on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. And yes, we are calling on the whole wide world. We are intricately connected. We have been imbued with that divine spark that all the answers are within. It's just a matter of us resonating at our highest frequency and not only being a part of what's needed to change, but having the courage to step forward one step at a time. Rebecca, welcome back to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Before we started our break, I sort of introduced where I'd like for us to just talk for a moment. You mentioned to me about the incredible increase in the dead zones in our ocean, and you certainly raised a big flag for me, and I had to go do research. Can you share a little bit about that? Because that will be one of the topics at the 2012 State of the Our Earth Eco Conference, isn't it?
Yes, we actually have the new director of the National Aquarium, John Racanelli, coming as well to speak on that. But the woman who I just respect so much, because she went in a wetsuit down in the Gulf, and, you know, the dispersants used on the oil, the unprecedented oil leak in the Gulf, were by many scientists thought to be worse than the oil spill itself, as disastrous as that has been. And yet a lot of the spin has been, oh, no, it's getting all cleaned up. We're doing such a great job. And she's saying not so. What we have to know about dead zones is that the rapidity in which dead zones in our oceans have appeared. You go back 60 years or so, there are no dead zones in the ocean. Now there are over 500 areas that have been identified as dead zones, with six primary ones, including one the size, twice the size of Texas. And, you know, we are also, just in the same way this is correlation of how quickly the population has grown, that it took, you know, almost all of human history, you know, to get in the first part of the 1800s to 1 billion people. So just within that, you know, 200-year trajectory, we're now looking at plus 7 billion people. They calculated that we reached that. And I'm not a person that says, oh, what we need to do is cut back. I think we have to just shift greatly how we live on this earth and how we share those things that are communally necessary, whether you have all the money in the world or you don't have enough to eat. There are certain levels of human dignity that have to be minded that have not been minded. So the oceans are fascinating. Again, that horrific view that she says there's no longer any glass full of water in the ocean that will not show that it has some microscopic plastic that has been released. Dr. Shaw spoke about all of the seals in the Baltic Sea, where there's so many people who live and it's kind of closed, and the level of chemical pollution is so great that the seals the female seals are being born with occluded wombs. You know, just in the same way back in the day when they were giving pregnant women, not knowing, a thalidomide, and then they saw that there was a characteristic deformity where the arms were not growing. No other part was kind of evidently, truncated, but the arms were with thalidomide. Certain chemicals act directly on certain body symptoms. It's not just that chemicals cause cancer. There's all sorts of other levels to do with heart disease and diabetes, et cetera, that are involved with our exposure to things that never existed in human history until these last 100 years. So we need the information. I remember back in growing up in the 50s, we were always told those silly Romans, you know, they used lead in their pipes, and that's what, was such a detriment to the height of their civilization. Well, we have a lot more than that we have introduced into the culture from, you know, the flammable, anti-flammable things that we put on baby clothes, and now we realize that how horrific that was for body systems. So it's not just a gloom and doom, scenario, but I would rather have an inch of something good to know about and truth than to have a yard of lies of what is good. And, and I think that this conference is really by top scientists and then people on the ground, wise people from all different these cultures from around the world who live and have learned to be people who feel those currents of the airs and the water and the land and have seen the frogs, change in terms of their helpful manifestation. I think it's very interesting that there's this common observance, be they scientists or people who live close to the earth, saying these systems have been disrupted in ways that they have never seen. And I think that's the beauty of this State of Our Earth Echo Conference open to people. And it will be recorded. And all but 5 minutes, we're only about to show 5 minutes of Dr. Steingraber's sharing. But on our website, www.avam, standing for American Visionary Art Museum, avam.org, there is very kindly Dr. Susan Shaw's link on her her bulleted points of what is happening to the oceans.
Well, thank you so much for that. Yeah, absolutely. I think that anyone coming is going to gain so much. And I want to ask a question that I think is a good one to ask. As we hear about all of these things, what will be the what will be the inspiring moment that not only will we hear about these things, but what will inspire people to action? Will there be examples of things that are happening that really give us hope for the future?
That will be interwoven. As I said, there were a lot of people who said, for example, Peter Kelly is a really smart guy, and he's a Gore, kind of a fellow of Al Gore's, gone through the training on the state of the earth as well. And he also happens to have an incredible wind energy company. But we chose to not let anybody's solutions, because there's a lot out there, we wouldn't to be an advertisement. This is just the first stage in truth and reconciliation. This is the day of truth, this conference of people sharing what their profound real experience at the ground level in their communities from all over this world, and the scientists who do their testing all over this world saying this is what they are understanding. And what's marvelous is the great harmony of accord, of alert, and I think that's the first step in making positive change, is admitting what has gone wrong. And yes, there will be in that room some of the most wonderful people trying respectively to do their part to change things. But this is more of stating where are we in 2012. And hopefully there will be many people who won't just hear, oh, there's a solution. Well, that's being taken care of. I guess I don't have to worry. The desire for looking truthfully at where we are and knowing that there has to be such level of systemic change. It can't just be, a few. And I have to remember, too, there's a lot of things we were all discussing the other night, that there are a lot of businesses that use the word green that are far from it. You can look at some of the worst polluters in this world, and I won't go on record right now saying who some of them are, but I'm sure people can figure them out, who actually underwrite green programming on television. So it's a lot of times the people screaming green are far from it, but they think that it gives a veneer, just like the Gulf cleanup, saying what a great job it's being done. it's irresponsible sometimes to, you know, to you have to listen to the actions and not to the spin.
Absolutely, and you know, it also brings to mind for me, as I was listening, I was kind of journeying on this world journey that we did, and even the journey around the country. And I was remembering that at one point, and I think I was in India, and we were in Mumbai, and I remember just all of a sudden taking pause and thinking about all the places we've been, and I was like, wow, it takes a lot of poverty in the world to support our Western ways. And, you know, it was just such a, it just welled up in me as I looked out at the people. And so I've been very interested in the people's stories. And one story, because I did ask the question, how will people be inspired? And the truth, of course, is always inspiration. And the other part of that is that often it's what we do every day in our everyday lives, in our families, in our communities, that also makes the difference. I remember being in India at a conference, and there was a person they were talking about. The conference was on interfaith, because some of our worst things that are happening on the planet have to do with our inability to look beyond the difference and embrace the truth of spirituality in all of our theology. Well, I just want to share this one story. It happened in the Philippines, and there was a community that was separated by the whole Muslim Christian piece, and it was kind of enforced in ways. And so this was a farming community. And what happened was, when the soldiers would come in to find the Muslims, the Christians would dress the Muslims as Christians and they'd go about their everyday life. And when the Muslim radicals would come in, they would dress the Christians as Muslims, and they would go on their everyday life. And they've been doing this for quite a while. And, you know, it sounds so simple, and yet that's peace. You know, that is inspiring, because it's about people at ground zero taking responsibility for their humanity.
That's a really beautiful story, and I think the inspiring part. Well, we're having our Buddhist monks chant before the show begins, and then we have Wapajia Walks on Water. Three generations begin to sing the wonderful Purafe Ulali song of All My Relations and the Honor Song, and then it goes into the testimony with you at the lead. And what I think is great is that we. How wonderful that we have come together to just speak truth, and to speak a truth that is born of extreme caring, and that is, it's not dumping, it is saying, I just want to know where we are so we can begin to make it better. And that is what the conference is dedicated to. But I think the museum itself is always a really inspirational place. We're right in the Baltimore Inner Harbor, and it's really not like any other place on earth. And the building, Francis Scott Key, the national anthem, was written right near there. And on it, on this one of our three buildings where the conference is being taken, the Jim Rouse Center, it says, "Oh, say, can you see?" The first line of our anthem. And I think real truth and real chance for healthful practice in the future comes from that communal vision. And I really believe that that's what will happen that day. And beyond that, because elements of this, the highlights of the conference will be broadcast for a very long time to come.
Absolutely. You know, and I really have a great appreciation for the concurrent, or actually coming out of the art exhibit, All Things Round, Galaxies, Eyeballs, and Karma, that this vision was planted in that stream of artistic expression. Because, you know, I find, and this is a personal statement, but I find that truth is very very hard to find often in different parts of our societies today. But in the arts, to me, that's where our truths are expressed in such profound ways. And so I'm always so excited about art and how it fits into and sets the tone of where we are in our collective context.
It can. But you know what I think, Audrey? A lot of people say, oh, art is always wonderful. You know, when we remember that Hitler used art to debase people, all the great powers, be they money, sex, health, physical power, you know, touch can be the most, and sex can be the most uplifting, divine communion, or the most hurtful, debasing action. All the great powers, be they art, political power, anything, are themselves neutral. It's intention behind them that guides what the outcome truly is. So what I, you know, in this show, All Things Round, are some wonderful, wonderful works, including carved styrofoam cups. You know, the America alone throws away 25 trillion styrofoam coffee cups a year. Now, the biggest, makeup of the dead zone, the largest dead zone, is indeed styrofoam, because it doesn't break down. Well, you could say, well, why don't they people just burn it? Well, they can't burn it because it off-gases benzene, which is a carcinogen in that form, so you can't just burn it. So it floats. It doesn't break down. It's an amazing material for its vibrancy and its long-lasting aspect to it. But what it does is it makes dead zones as well. So there's a lot that has to change, and it's difficult when stock portfolios and whatever are made up of companies whose bread and butter have evolved to be these harmful chemicals, and that we have a political system where there's no cap on corporate giving, and corporate giving has corporate entities have a lot of say about how, you know, politicians who makes decisions. And one of the things that will be shared, there is, you know, the largest concentration of childhood leukemia in the world is in a small town in Nevada that happens to make tungsten and cobalt. Well, tungsten and cobalt have been shown when the emissions, become airborne and in the water, et cetera, to cause all sorts of health issues, serious health issues. And yet, you know, when independent, federal agencies have gone in to look at the health phenomena, they won't go online and say, oh, yes, this was caused by, this factory that has had a lot of, violations of how they have processed their materials. It's just a coincidence that the largest concentration, not in America, in the world, of childhood leukemia would be in this population. So it's sharing those stories to make us realize that we have to gently make it possible for the ambient condition to be one where we only ask for truth. And that's how you begin, by educating people that things are said, even under green banners, that actually aren't helpful for people. So you have to look very carefully to make sure that people who are claiming, you know, positive actions are actually doing them. And I think we get better at that when we're in rooms where we're hearing truth, our ears become more attuned to what is so and not what is posing as so.
Absolutely, and I look forward to that, and I look forward also, one of the things that I've been pondering on, and maybe you can give me some insight on this, Rebecca, that the human rights piece also becomes an important part of our green conversations. I'm thinking about that, and maybe it's on my mind a lot today because a friend of mine is heading up the Leonard Peltier Walk for Human Rights, and this talk particularly is looking at the whole prison industrial complex and what is happening to people all over the country, particularly poor people, people of color, and the millions of people who are now disposable in our economy in one regard. So I also I would feel remiss if I didn't acknowledge them. They're now, I think they've just come out of the state of California, heading into, you know, coming east. They left Alcatraz and are heading to Washington, D.C., where they'll arrive in May. But those kinds of initiatives, too, those stories, the truth of what's happening in our society and social order, I think is also a part of that conversation.
Audrey,
wow.
You are so right. We did a year-long exhibition, Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Happiness, where we, you know, gave the statistics that even, and I'm certainly no fan of Gulag, you know, era Russia or communist China, but at the worst period of their suppression of their own people, they never had the percentage that we currently do and have had of our own people in incarceration. So the question is, well, what kind of helpful society would make that kind of massive use of its own people under the banner of being the freest society? And that's why people like Sir Richard Branson are working closely with our friend Archbishop Desmond Tutu to look at these issues of decriminalization and what happened in places like Portugal when they decriminalized and went to a medical model instead of a punitive model on the certain class of drugs, et cetera. And what I really have thought would be really helpful would be that there be a movement from some of the top brokerages to say that they will no longer have anything in their portfolio. They will not invest anyone's money in any company, mutual fund, et cetera, that holds even one share of prison stock. Because unless we take it out of the we uncouple justice systems like jails from a growth business that you can invest in, we will always see more and more and more people incarcerated, because then their value becomes that, because they've now become pawns within that bigger system. So it is so un-American from any ideal we ever had to be in the state that we are in with the level of prisons. You are so right to prioritize that. It's heartbreaking in the most profound way possible.
Yes, and you know, it really hit home for me when we came back from the World Walk. And actually, I think where it hit me the hardest was in Baltimore City. And what happened was, we did some walks through the city, and just looking at the impact of the prison industrial complex on the communities from which these particularly young men are extracted, if you will, and brought into the criminal justice system, what that has left in its wake in terms of the community. And so that really has been with me, and thank you so much for the work you have done with that exhibit.
Well, Audrey, I want to tell you, we have the most gorgeous three-story mirrored cobalt blue glass, incredible mosaic walls. And now we work with the kids in the prison jail system to do that, although we were defunded. We had several years from federal grants, and they don't do earmarks anymore. And we were told it was the most successful arts healing program for those kids in the jail system. And let me tell you this. I love having those walls, because when people go, oh, my God, they think that, you know, some kind of like Antonio Gaudi must have done them. They're that exquisite. They're very high-level mirrored mosaics. And guess what? 90% of the kids who are in Baltimore City jail system, you know, in the juvenile system where they're incarcerated, 90% are in for non-violent crime. I had no idea until I started working with them. 10% are in for violent crime, 90% in for non-violent crime, and a lot of them had their parents been better off financially and whatever, they wouldn't even see the inside of a courtroom, let alone, you know, a jail system. So we have to make better use of our young people. And there's no question. And the world, when people come to visit, that comes from the beauty. And those kids that give us 30 hours of their life in working on the walls, they all got lifetime memberships, and they come back again and again. And I'm so, you know, thankful that we could do something that permits the conversation, because people can't believe. They always think it's always these horrible, violent kids that are in jail. Well, hello, 90% are in for nonviolent crime, you know, and that's a big shocker. And I'm glad it shocks people. It should.
Yes, it should. Well, I can't wait. I'm going to get in to Baltimore next Friday so that Saturday I can come over to the museum and just be in the energy of what you're doing there. It's certainly just talking with you and being on your website quite often over these last couple of weeks, I'm certainly inspired, and I'm very grateful that you're there doing the work that you're doing on behalf not only it's not even a geographical boundary. I would say on behalf of the world. So I really, really would like to thank you for that. So let's mention again what's going to be happening on January 22nd and where people can get more information. And if there's a number that they can call, perhaps you can share that as well.
It's a free conference on Sunday, January 22nd. Get there around 10 a.m. Parking is probably going to be horrific, to be real honest, but it's very hard to do valet when the conference goes all day, and then we're going to show What on Earth, the Crop Circle movie that Suzanne Taylor did, that's one of the best. That's another theme within the All Things Round exhibition. It's the best Crop Circle documentary movie ever made, and that's kind of just a communal gift that's in the night. But in the morning, starting right promptly at 11 o'clock, will be seated before then, will indeed be this call and of sharing from the Native peoples on what is the prophecies of 2012 and far beyond from their people have held. And then the afternoon is, the lineup is all the most caring eco scientists about the state of our earth. And together, there's a real communion on where we are on January 22nd, 2012, in a post 7 billion person world. And they can go to www.avam.org, and there's a way, I think, to just register. Again, it's free, but we really, the seating is limited to about 500.
All right. And is there a number if people have questions, or do you prefer them to just go? Because not everybody is as savvy on the website, and so some people still like
yes.
to call in information.
They could call. Our main number is 410-244-1900. And I again ask you if you can please do as much as you can on the web, because we're very – I've never had a secretary. We're a small staff at our National Museum. They can ask, and they'll probably be directed up to either Nick, if they're press, and to Abby. And we have some amazing national reporters coming to cover that. And one of our favorite local Peabody Award-winning Mark Steiner as well will be on hand. And then if you miss this, if you can't get to Baltimore for this, what we will be doing is, again, putting out highlights of this in a format that will be available for free to people.
Well, I want to encourage everyone, and I will say that the website is very user-friendly, so I will encourage everyone to visit the website, and because I think that what I found on the website, I found out all the information I needed about the conference, but I got a real sense of the museum, and as a result of that, I could weave it all together. So I will definitely encourage everyone to visit the website, and if you're in the Baltimore area, certainly put January 22nd on your schedule to attend the 2000.
And Audrey will be there.
Yay! And Audrey will be there. I sure will. And I am looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I know this is a busy time, so thank you for taking time out of your day to come visit with us on Peace Talks. We will get this archived and get it up and have it so that people can access the show, and then we can send the link out around so that we can keep the message flowing over the, you know, all throughout the week. And so thank you again for being on Peace Talk.
What a pleasure, and love to your mom. My 99-year-old dad's still going great, too, so we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do, every single day. Thank you so much, and my love to all of your staff, and I look forward to meeting you this weekend coming.
Thank you, Audrey. You have a place to stay, I understand, correct?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I know you're good. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'll be with you soon. That's a great.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. You've been listening to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio, the radio that seeks to bring you information, wisdom, knowledge, sharing, caring, and lots of love as we transition into a new evolved humanity, a humanity that is intricately connected, that understands its relatedness and makes the best choices that we can courageously, honorably, and with the best of our intentions for seven generations and beyond. Just wanted to remind you on Sunday night, tune in to Sound Synchronicity with your host, Makua Ray, on Wednesday nights, Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers, and back to you on next Friday at 12 noon, Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. You can find out more about Now Time Radio. Just Google Now Time Radio and find out all the things that we're doing. We're starting a new initiative. In fact, we had our premiere showing last week, or airing, I should say, and it's called Seven Generations and Beyond, and it's a program that's meant to encourage dialogue between youth and elders on subjects related to peace and harmony on our planet for many, many generations to come. I want to thank you for being with us today, and we'll be back next week, we are sorry. I know we advertised Majaya for today. Majaya had something come up that she needed to be available to take care of herself today, and so we will be rescheduling her program so that we can bring you the gift of her new book. I've been reading it, and I cannot wait to engage in a dialogue with Majaya of Kashi Ashram down in Sebastian, Florida. The work that she has done, her commitment to service is incredible. So I think you will be inspired, so stay tuned. We'll be letting you know when that show is rescheduled. On the 27th, we will have Edith Billup from Biogenesis and some of the people from Biogenesis talking about the new information that's coming forward now about how these amazing healing tools can be used to help not only heal, but to transform our world to be healthier, wiser, and much more compassionate and courageous in what's being called for at this time. So I'd like to just say once again, thank you for listening to Peace Talk on Now Time Radio. We're going to go out on our last few minutes that we have available here on the show with some music. I'm going to ask our producer, I want to give thanks to Makua Ray on the switchboards today for keeping us going, even when I'm on a highway headed to our next destination. Thank you so much for always being there. And, wow, if you haven't heard Sound Synchronicity, tune in on Sunday night at 9 p.m. You do not want to miss that show. Thank you again. Makua, do we have some music we can end the program with today?